And now the Talk of the Nation opinion page. Conventional wisdom holds that a college degree is worth a lot more than the hefty price you might have to pay for it. You'll get a better job, move up more quickly, and be able to pay off those student loans. Career counselor Marty Nemko takes a contrarian view. In an op-ed piece that appeared last week in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he argued that many kids are not prepared for four-year college and don't get much from the experience except the bills. In short, he says, college is overrated. If you're a counselor, what do you tell kids? Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our blog. It's at npr.org/blogofthenation. Marty Nemko joins us now from the studios of member station KALW in San Francisco. Nice to have you back on the program.
It's my pleasure.
And you begin your piece with a sad story. You say you've heard as a career counselor, I wasn't a good student in high school, but I wanted to prove I could get a college diploma. I'd be the first in my family to do it. But it's been 5 years and $80,000, and I still have 45 credits to go.
Yep. Well, the sad thing is anybody can cite an anecdote or two, but the reality is, in mass, if we look at the bottom 40% of kids in their high school class, two-thirds of them, if they start out at a four-year college, do not get their college degree, even if we give them 8.5 years. And yet we take, colleges take money, a lot of money, from them for all those years, and leaving the kids very often with devastated self-esteem, with having learned very little, we'll talk about that later, how little, and without any kind of a leg up on a job, as we'll also discuss. It's very sad.
So you're saying cost-benefit analysis should be applied here.
Well, we need to, you know, if I were a doctor and I gave my patients a treatment that was going to cost $100,000 and take 6 or 8 years, and I wouldn't tell them that the odds of that medication working were less than 1 in 10. I'd be sued, and I would lose in any court in the land. But colleges, day in and day out, to hundreds of thousands of students, say, come on down, without providing that information. And not only do they suffer no reprisals, but simply the legislature keeps raising the amount of financial aid given, which merely allows the college to raise the tuitions even more.
Now, you say colleges, and correctly say, colleges trumpet the statistics that over their lifetimes, college graduates earn much more than non-graduates, yet you say that's misleading.
I cannot think of a more misleading statistic. Colleges are very good at using statistics to their advantage. The fact is that the pool of kids who go to college are much brighter, have better family connections, are much more motivated than the pool of kids who don't go to college. So you could lock those kids into a closet for 4 years or 5 years, and they will, over their lifetimes, earn a lot more. Compounding that, the trend is even greater today. We're sending an ever higher proportion of kids to college, digging ever deeper into the barrel, very low achievers in high school, at the very same time as American employers are offshoring ever more jobs, part-timing ever more jobs, using many more automated systems instead of people. So you've got ever more college graduates, even if you do graduate. And as I said, most of these kids from the bottom 40% of their high school class don't graduate, at the very same time as there will be fewer white-collar jobs. I looked at the very latest statistic that just came out of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. The really fastest-growing jobs are those in the service sector, those very low-paying jobs that one could do as a high school dropout.
In an op-ed repost, Lawrence Shaw, the president of Oglethorpe University, agrees with you that not all students who head off to college are fully prepared, but he writes, quote, I would challenge his assumption, however, that all of those who are struggling did not perform well in high school. I've seen many high-achieving students arrive and fail to take advantage of what we offer, yet I've also witnessed countless numbers of lower-achieving students blossom when they get to college.
I absolutely agree. There are many kids who are fully qualified to go to college who still drop out, do very badly, in part because, do you know that 45% of the college freshmen nationwide who were surveyed by the UCLA Higher Education Survey found themselves dissatisfied with the instruction? So, yes, even if you're fully qualified, lots and lots of students are dropping out, finding the courses irrelevant, the professors indifferent, the faculty tremendously caring more about their research. So certainly there are many fully qualified kids who are also not profiting, which is so sad. And of course you can talk about some percentage of the low-achieving kids who are the late bloomers, and we remember about them. But in the end, for every one of those, according to these statistics that are really broadly nationwide, the vast majority of those kids who are graduating in the bottom half of their high school class are devastated. Not only do they get jobs, but they learn the amount of value added is frightening, how little they gain for the time and the opportunity cost, what they could be learning had they been in something where they're more likely to succeed, that is, perhaps a community college or a short-term community college career program or an apprenticeship program, working at the elbow of a master entrepreneur, even joining the military. The opportunity cost of those kids who were bad in high school, going on to four-year college, dropping out, having the nonstop assault to their self-esteem, a mountain of debt and little learning, is a true catastrophe.
And again, some educators would respond that, look, college isn't a trade school or just a trade school. It's about learning how to think.
Exactly, and that is the saddest thing of all, because there is a grand canyon of difference between what is touted in the view books and brochures and websites of colleges and the reality. A Pew study in 2006 found that 50% of seniors, and now these are not the ones who dropped out, these are the ones who made it to senior status, scored below proficient in understanding arguments in a newspaper or being able to compare credit card offers. This is even more startling to me. A full 20% of these bachelor attempting four-year college senior students scored at what they call the basic level in math, which means they could not estimate if their car had enough gas to get to the gas station. This is after four or five or 6 years, 100,000 or more. This is a national travesty.
Let's see if we can get some callers in on the conversation. Our guest again is Marty Nemko, a career counselor in the San Francisco Bay Area. He's at member station KQED in San Francisco. And let's talk with Nathan. Nathan with us from Greensboro, North Carolina.
Good afternoon.
Go ahead.
Your guest does make some very excellent points, one of which you, the host, have spoken to, that probably pressures a number of people to go to college, that being accepting the bill of goods. I'm going to go to college to get a degree so I can learn how to make a lot of money, because I do not want to have a trade. Gentlemen, I am in what you call a trade. My income is very well. I did take 2 years of college training, as a matter of fact, 4 years in two different community colleges in both automotive analysis and repair. I got out of that, got tired of it, and went towards electrical installation and servicing, and am now working for an electric utility. My income is very good. I learned very early as well that you do not go to college to learn how to make a lot of money, but you learn how to go to college to learn how to think. Fortunately, I knew how to think before I got to college. The nation has been sold this bill of goods that you just have to go to college. And when you tell parents that their kids can come out of high school within 2 to 3 to 4 years and be making 40, 50 grand, and the parent says, oh, that's wonderful. What will they be doing? Oh, they're going to be a so-called tradesman. Then the parent, as well as the child, looks down their nose and says, well, I don't want my child turning wrenches. I don't want him to be a grease monkey. America needs to get up with the program that, as the host has said, as the guest has said, we're offshoring, selling out, manufacturing next to little, and you cannot keep any type of strength doing such.
Nathan,
thank you.
Thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. Well, Nathan seems to have applied some of your advice proactively.
You know, something I've learned, I've been a career, in addition to kind of I've been a consultant to 15 college presidents, but that's a small fraction of what I've done. I've been a career counselor to 2,800 people. And one of the things that would not have anticipated, I believed, but now believe deeply, is that status is often the enemy of contentment. The notion that turning a wrench is less than honorable work. I really think we need to honor all workers. And that person who does fix my car reliably and at a fair price and quickly deserves as much respect as many of our very, very well-educated people who arguably do a little bit less for the world than that mechanic does.
Yet it's hard to try to stifle kids' ambitions and, perhaps more to the point, parents' ambitions.
I think the most honorable path that we can take is simply giving people options, full disclosure. Let us trust that if we tell our children and our counselees what we see as, here are the odds, you may want to defy the odds, we're not going to force you out of college or into college, here are some of the options, and go and visit these people in these different careers, here is what you might or might not learn at college. You provide full disclosure, And then, of course, we want to give people the freedom. But the manipulation that the colleges do, the lack of disclosure about not only the value added, how much learning really occurs, forget about career, how much learning in reading, writing, thinking skills, and or the lack thereof. If we don't disclose that, and we don't disclose the career options, and we don't disclose the dropout rate, and we don't disclose what the total 4-year or 5-year or 6-year cost is, we are committing educational malpractice every day.
And you want all of those statistics, every college, to be forced to list all of those statistics, sort of like the warning on the cigarette pack, on their websites and all their information.
You know, we require tire manufacturers to mold into the sidewall what is the tread life, the temperature rating, and the traction. If we require that kind of disclosure for a tire, should we not require such disclosures for something so important as a college degree? You know, what is the value added? What is the financial aid package? What is the retention rate? What percentage come back for the second year? What is the employment data for graduates? What percentage of graduates within 6 months are unemployed, employed in a job requiring college skills, or are working at McDonald's? Don't parents deserve that? Don't kids deserve that? Consumer knowledge.
We're talking with Marty Nemko about his op-ed in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Are College Degrees Overrated? There's a link to his op-ed at our webpage. Go to npr.org/talk. And this is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's go to Corey. Corey's calling us from Cleveland.
Yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air, Corey.
Okay. How you doing, Neil?
Very well, thanks.
I want to say hi to Marty. I'm calling because I have to absolutely agree with him. I'm in Cleveland. I went to a very prestigious college called John Carroll University, and I decided to drop out. And when I made that decision, everyone in my family was very disappointed. And I decided to drop out to become a plumber. And so, as you can imagine, everyone was disappointed. But what made me come to that decision is that I watched my friends. I had a lot of older friends. They would graduate. I had some friends who were pursuing their master's degree who would have those. And I would see them, and they would be back at their old jobs previously before graduating or looking for jobs. And I began to get discouraged because I was in a career where I found out that 1,000 other kids were. And I was manipulated, like Marty said, because every kid in college believes that they're going to get out making $80,000 a year, or they're going to they like to – when you hear that up to for your career – where you hear that up to, everyone gets focused on that and don't think about what if I don't make that, or what if I can't achieve that. And I just think that's very interesting. And I came to that realization. I decided to leave it, and I'm very happy about the decision I made.
Corey?
You know, listening to Corey, it was, you know, both of the callers, it sounds from their accents that they were African-American. And it really does. I think, you know, analogy is often a very weak form of argument, but here it's very appropriate. You know, we so appropriately decry the Tuskegee experiments where African Americans were recruited into medical experiments without disclosing what the risks of those procedures are. Well, very, you know, colleges are obsessed, and appropriately, with wanting to provide diversity. But in that attempt, in that appropriate attempt to provide diversity, they have withheld that crucial information, just as those doctors in the Tuskegee experiments did withheld that information. Do not African-American kids, all kids, are they not entitled to know what they're getting into, what they're likely to derive as the benefit, what the chances are, rather than obfuscating all that and say, come on down.
Corey, good luck.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. And let's see if we can go now to Karen. And Karen's calling us from Tallahassee in Florida.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm the mother of a couple of kids in college who struggle, but what I think is the downside, why I really think they need a college degree, is to fall back on. For instance, I've got a son who wants to do entrepreneurial stuff and got into the real estate field, and when it tanked, if he had had his degree, he could have substitute teach. You know, that could have supplemented his income, but you got to have a degree to do that. So I have encouraged him to continue to get his degree just so he'll have something to fall back on, and he can still pursue his other interests. What do you think about that view?
The major word in what you said was the word if. If your child is very motivated to learn at college, and he is a fine student, and great. But the reality is that we send so many kids, as we said, those kids in the bottom 40% of their class, two-thirds of them, even if we gave them 8.5 years of time and tuition and stress, they don't get that degree. And even if they did get the degree, they probably would be at the bottom of the pool of college degree holders at the very same time, as we said earlier, that corporations are offshoring, part-timing, automating jobs. So even we all know many people with bachelor's degrees who are driving cabs and doing things like that. Alas, today, despite what the colleges would have you believe, a bachelor's degree is a mere hunting license for a professional-level job, far from a guarantor of one.
Karen, we wish both your sons good luck.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Finally, and quickly, this email we got from Nari. At a time when the whole world is waking up to good, meaningful college education, especially India and China, talking about college being useless in the U.S. is just appalling. We need to fix college education rather than exempt kids from it. At a time more and more work can be done electronically, 10,000 miles away, talk like this will only accelerate the fall of the U.S. economy.
I couldn't agree more. If we can improve colleges, if we require them to provide data on their value added, they will be embarrassed and they will be forced to take some money away from some of the worthless shrubs and research that they and fancy administrative buildings and put the money into education. Then we can legitimately claim that America's higher education is our greatest product, but now it's America's most overrated.
Marty Nemko is a career counselor in the San Francisco Bay Area, and his op-ed, "Are College Degrees Overrated?" appeared in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last week. You can find a link to it at our website. Again, that's npr.org/talk. He joined us from the studios of member station KQED in San Francisco. Marty, thanks very much.
It is my pleasure.
I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.